appreciate that. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. Pastor Sapp was up here mentioning this is our hour. And, you know, I will often hear mothers, especially my own wife, and even my daughter Hannah, who is got in her mind one day, of course, to be married, the Lord willing, and have children. But they'll say things like, so afraid to bring children, you know, into the world because of the way things are shaping up and the way things are going. But I have always believed and know it to be true that God raises up a generation to not just match, but overcome the darkness of the hour. Amen. The Bible says, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Listen, we don't need to fear what the devil's doing. The devil needs to fear what the church is doing. Amen. Praise God. And we don't need to be afraid that our children are being born in a generation where it's just such an untoward generation and things are looking so bad and becoming so difficult. God is raising up young men and women that can take on and overcome the evil of this world. And so Pastor Sapp is right. This is our hour. This is our time, because God matches us for every generation. Brother Cornelius, has it been 8 weeks? I thought I was only gone too. Talk to me after service. Catch me up. Book of Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to talk to us tonight for a few minutes. Pastor has been trying to choose foundational biblical doctrines that I believe are very important to the church. And on Wednesday nights, I've been trying to spend a little time with these subjects. We just recently talked about the sonship. And it is a wonderful thing to have the revelation of who the Son of God was and what he come to do and represent. Prior to that, we dealt with the subject of one God. And we're going to deal with basic foundational truths that must, as we try to reach this world, it must remain a part of our foundation. We can never divert from it. Just like Pastor was talking Sunday when I expressed that we drive the marker into the ground and it cannot be moved. And as we reach for a world, as we love them through Christ, as we have compassion and patience for them, and we share the love of God in their life, and this place begins to fill up with people that have no clue what it means to have a relationship with God, we need to make sure that while we are leading them towards him, we're not letting the world drag us back into the other direction. So we have to anchor truths. We have to drive them deep into our heart and into our souls, and stay steadfast. Amen. Father, we need you tonight. We pray that you touch my mind and my heart as we teach the Word of God. Touch every single person that's in this room tonight. Lord, let us receive from your Word. Let us receive from the Word of God tonight. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Strengthen us. Help us to understand who we are in you. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen. Turn to 2 or 3 people around you and tell them, I am a witness for Jesus Christ. Lord bless you. You can be seated. I forgot to mention this on Sunday, and I don't know if Sister Nikki is here or not, but was told her pastor just did an incredible job here. It was last Wednesday, I believe. Is that right? Was it last Wednesday he preached? Oh, there she is. Wednesday before that? It was sometime just recently. And just really impacted the church, and we were greatly blessed. And then I was told we had great church around here Sunday, and Pastor Sapp was used of the Lord to minister the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful feeling when pastor can go away, and I've had this feeling for a long time because we've had good men and women for a very long time, but to be able to go away and have absolutely no apprehension whatsoever that you guys are going to have church, God's going to have his way, and the word is going to be ministered, and people are going to be touched and changed. And I am thankful for a ministerial staff that is in touch and in tune with the Lord. I want to talk to us tonight for a few minutes, just going to do a little teaching. I want to talk to us about being a witness. And in doing that, I'm going to come from the angle of why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And we, of course, just got off of that 5-week series on the sonship. And in that teaching, we talked about that the primary purpose of the Lord coming to this world, God manifesting himself in the flesh, was to seek and to save the lost. We had the privilege of teaching in the Bible school in Brazil, and one of the mornings that we were teaching there, we taught on the subject to lift up your eyes and behold the harvest. And of course, we were talking about being soul winners and dealing with the fact that the primary purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world was to seek and to save the lost. We, if we're not careful, we will promote healing above salvation. The world, the religious world, does that today. They promote the gifts of the Spirit of healing and miracles and deliverances and these different kinds of things, and they will literally put them in a position as though they themselves are salvation, and they are not. In fact, we find in the book of Acts, when it talks about the Samaritans, I believe it was the Samaritans, the word of the Lord says that there was great deliverance, and not only great deliverance, but there was great joy, and that demons were cast out, lame walked, blind saw, miracles took place, and then after it describes all of that, just a little bit later, it says, yet the Holy Ghost had not fallen upon any of them. How is that possible? And we know that we can't be saved without the Spirit of God. The Bible says without his Spirit, you are none of his. You can't be saved without the Spirit of God. He that is born of the water and of the Spirit, the same shall see the kingdom of God. They had been baptized, but not a one of them had received the Spirit of God into their life. And if we're not careful, especially amongst the apostolic church, where the gifts of the Spirit operate so prominently and should. They should be in every service, every time we come together. The gifts of the Spirit should be in operation for revelation and deliverance and for healing and word of knowledge and wisdom. And all of the gifts of the Spirit should be in operation when we come together. But we need to understand that the gifts of the Spirit does not bring salvation. And God can minister a word of knowledge to an individual, but it doesn't mean that they're saved. An angel can appear and speak a word, but it doesn't mean you're saved. Cornelius had an angel come to him and minister to him and tell him, send for men of Joppa, whereby they will tell you and your household what? How to be saved. So you mean I can have an angelic visitation and still be lost? I can be healed of a disease and still be lost? I can have a demon cast out of me and still not be saved? I can get a word of knowledge from a preacher and still not have salvation? Absolutely. And that's one of the things that's wrong with the religious world today, because many of them in the charismatic movement and churches and many different Pentecostal movements around the world, they will allow the gifts and the operation of the spirits to move and to touch and do wonders. And because God moves in certain ways, they assume that they are in right standing with God. And I can stop and tell you right now, this very instant, the fact that God uses you doesn't mean you're in right standing with God. God uses us for the sake of others. He doesn't use me for my sake. He uses me for the sake of others. It's my job to stay right in the sight of God. The calling and gifts of God are without repentance. He's not ever going to take that from me, or he's not ever going to take it from you. So I can't ever just assume because God is speaking through me and using me that it means that I'm in right standing with God. The only thing I can base the fact that I'm in right standing with God is I've got to go back to the Word of God, and I have to make sure that my life is lining up with the Word of God. And if I'm lined up with the Word of God, then I'm in right standing with God. We live in a religious world today where God moves in many ways and forms and fashions, because you need to understand something. When God's people comes together, just people come together and they call on the name of Jesus, he's going to move. When I don't care what they believe, when they open up that book and they begin to proclaim the word of God, God's power is going to begin to move, because his power is in the word. It's in the word. And so you're going to see great. And what is God doing? He's reaching, he's looking, he's searching. He's trying to find somebody out there that's truly hungry for him. And when he finds them, he can touch them in a special way. And if he can't reach them with salvation in that particular congregation or coming together, a gathering of people, he'll gently begin to tug them and lead them until he can get them at a place where it is so. And so we as apostolic need to make sure that we understand that the primary purpose of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to reach the lost. It is to save them, to redeem them with his blood, with his power. And that can only happen through the infilling of the Holy Ghost and being baptized in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. So the Lord has come to seek and to save that which lost. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Lord wants you and I to be absolutely consumed with reaching the lost. He wants us to get up with it in the morning. He wants us to walk with it throughout the day. He wants us to go to bed with it tonight at night. He wants it to be on our heart and our mind. God, can I reach somebody else today? But if we're not careful, and I think that all of us might even be able to find ourselves in this position. I know I have been in this position. And I know I have done this. where I have actually sought God more for the gifts of the Spirit rather than God using me to reach somebody that's lost. And if we're not careful, Brother Powell, we'll get caught up in being used by God rather than reaching people for the lost. And we will literally walk in arrogance and in pride because God uses us in certain ways and such certain fashions when we've gone a month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months or a year and have not talked to anybody about salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, I know Paul the Apostle says, seek the best gifts. We are to seek God. We are to seek to be used of God in all of these different ways and all of these different fashions. But all of this should be secondary to the thing that drives us the greatest, and that is there's a world that is lost and dying and going to hell, and if I don't become a witness for Jesus Christ, they're not going to hear about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And most of this stuff that they're hearing today, I tell you, I wish I had the time. My daughter comes home and talks to me. She attends the Palm Beach Atlantic University. It's a private college. It is a Christian college. And the theology there, of course, is Trinitarian. And some of the different things that she comes home that she can hear, that she sits in the class and hears and listens to them teach out of the Word of God. And how that they go around the true meaning. And in fact, just today, she was talking about they read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And Hannah perked up. She goes, man, I got to hear how they're going to handle this. Present your body holy unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, right? How are they going to? And they danced around every little bitty area because the preacher said, what does it mean to present your body to God? And they talked about, well, your mind has to be on the Lord. And they dealt with everything. And finally, Hannah raises her hand and she says, you know, it might also mean your body. Since the scripture says present your, maybe it just means your body. That God expects us to live for Him, not just spiritually, but physically. And did you ever think about the fact that maybe God's concerned about our? And the professor said, yeah, that's a good point. She wanted to say, but I've taught her not to be sarcastic like her dad. She wanted to say, no, that is the point of the scripture. All your stuff was some points. That's the point. So we're dealing with a world that is presenting Jesus Christ in a way that this word does not present Him. They have become so afraid of being offensive, so afraid of getting, if I can say this in kindness, getting in the face of someone else with truth and revealing truth and delivering truth. And you know, pastor preaches, everything's to be done in love and kindness and compassion. And I understand that. But listen, from time to time, the word of God is going to be bold. It's going to be forward. It's going to be in the face. It's going to hurt. It's going to cut. It's going to divide. It's what His Word says. In fact, it's what we want it to do. We want the Word of God to divide us from what? Divide me from darkness into light. Teach me how to walk in the light. Apostolics of West Palm Beach, I come to you in the Holy Ghost, and I say this city needs a witness. This city needs somebody that's going to stand up, that's got the gospel in your heart, that understands who God is. He's one. There's only one. There will always only be one. His name is Jesus Christ. He came to a world. He died for a world. He shed His blood for a world that was lost. And sin is sin and right is right. And this world needs us, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in His name, knowing who He is, to stand up and begin to be a witness. Somebody needs to see who Jesus is, and only you and I can present Him. This So we need to be a witness. Tell your neighbor, I am a witness for Jesus Christ. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. It was his purpose of coming. When God redeems us and he saves us, he does many things to us. He works in our life in many ways, in many areas. But I promise you, his total focus is to turn you and me into powerhouses of witnesses for his name. That's what he wants to do. So let this mind be in you which was in Christ. What was the mind of Christ? He was so focused on reaching the lost. I've preached this on more than one occasion. When you study the life of Jesus Christ as he walks upon this earth, the only time that you see God taking a detour from whatever his purpose was, whatever it was that he was going, wherever it was that he was going, or whatever it was that he was going to go and do. The only time you see God taking a detour is when it involves a soul. He stops under the tree for Zacchaeus. He stops when the lady pulls on his garment. Stops when he hears the blind man cry out. And then, of course, Sunday, we started the very beginning of a message, the journey to Shiloh, where the only time in the Bible where Jesus actually stopped. And what did he do? He looked at a man that was born blind, a man that did not cry out to him, but something so pulled out of the heart of God when he saw that man. He was born blind. It was of no fault of his own. He was in a mess. And we are living in a world where people are born and conceived in sin and iniquity, and they live in a world of darkness. And this pulls at the heart of God. And he fills me and he fills you with the Holy Ghost and the purpose of filling us with this power. Acts 1:7, look at this. And he said unto them, speaking to his disciples, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And they were asking the Lord, you know, when are you going to return? When are you going to set up the kingdom? When are you going to do this? And it was like God's way of saying, look, I know this intrigues you. I know you want to know when I'm coming back. Am I coming back in the morning? You know, am I coming back tomorrow? Am I coming back in 2,256 years? When am I going to return? But it's like he looks at them and he says that these things are in the hands of God. Leave them where they belong, which the Father hath put in his own power. But look at verse number 8. He said, but you're going to receive power as well. He said, now the Father has put all of these mysteries in his power. Why? Because he controls them. He's going to make sure everything unfolds when it's supposed to unfold. You don't need to worry about that. Don't bother yourself with it. I want you to focus on something else. What is that? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. There's a couple of things that I want us to look into this verse right here. Number one, do you realize that these are the very last words that they ever heard Jesus Christ speak from his body to them? He had been walking with them for 3.5 years, and here he is. He's death, buried, resurrected. He's just about to make his way. He's just about to ascend, and he looks at them, and he says, by the way, don't forget, you are my witnesses. And he puts a priority on the receiving of the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at this. He said, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. And we have, as the apostolic church and the church world in general, we have taken this power of the Holy Ghost and we have used it for everything else. We're excited about the power. Let's go cast out some devils. We're excited about the power. And you know, Pastor, you know I'm not against any of these things. I'm for these things. But I'm trying to get you to see something. Let's go heal the lame. Let's go open the blinded eyes. Let's go unstop deaf ears. And Jesus Christ did these things while he was here on earth. But I am here to tell you that these things were done as byproducts of his presence. They were not the focus of what he had come to do. He did not come to seek out the blind and heal them. He did not come to seek out the lame and heal them. He did not come to seek out these things and people and deliver them from possession. Jesus, the Son of God, came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. His priority upon this earth was to reach the lost. Why? Because he knew if I can save them, if I can get them filled with the Holy Ghost, if I can get them baptized in my name, if they can understand who I am and they can receive me into their life, then their eyes will be open, their deaf ears will be unstopped, their lame feet will receive strength and they will walk. If there's a demon in them, my spirit's not going in until the demon comes out. Jesus looked at them and he said, you are going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to give you a power. It's going to give you an anointing and it's going to give you a power. I say it's time the apostolic church starts using that power for the purpose that it was designed to do, and that is to witness about Jesus Christ and to reach the lost. You see, I know this needs to be preached because I've already broken through two brick walls and I'm beating against another one because it has been so drilled in our heads for so many years that the power was given to be used for so many other things. And listen, when you have power, you can do a lot of things with it. And as long as we're in the Word of God, that's perfectly fine. Do whatever it is that the power can accomplish. But don't forget what the true purpose of the power was. And I got another thing for us here tonight. We are living in a generation, as we spoke about earlier, where the power of the adversary has been released more so than we have ever seen or dreamed. And it's just beginning. It's going to get worse. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to need power. When you open up your mouth and you begin to witness, there's going to have to be a power that comes out of you, or people are not going to be delivered. They're not going to be saved. They're not going to see the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray through in the power of the Holy Ghost and then begin to use the power of the Holy Ghost, what God ordained the power of the Holy Ghost to be used for, and that's to go into this world and find somebody that is lost, and in the power of the Holy Ghost begin to witness to them about Jesus Christ. And if they're sick and they have a migraine headache, use that power to open the door. Let me pray for your migraine headache. Use the power of the Holy Ghost to open the door. If there's other needs, and then use that power to open the door. But understand, you're not done. All you did was open the door. The true reason for the power is to reach them and get them delivered. Whatever that takes, whatever you have to do, you continue to pursue. You teach a Bible study. You call them up. You buy them groceries. You do whatever it is that you have to do to show the love of God and the kindness of God and the goodness of God until you can get them in such a place that they can receive the power of God. Tell your neighbor, I am a witness for Jesus Christ. Tell him, I have received power to be a witness. So let's stop letting this power be so dormant in our life. I believe, Todd, I believe every day. Every day. God sends somebody my way. And I have to learn how to be sensitive. Pay attention. And I have got to get the word coincidental, accident, by chance. I got to get those words out of my vocabulary. Because I am a child of God. And He watches every step I take, everything I do, everything you do. And I hope that I'm sensitive enough to Him that I will allow Him to lead and guide me in some form or fashion. Now, I will admit, most of the good that God does through me to others is in spite of me. But there have been a few times when it was actually because of me, but not often. What I mean by that is I actually was sensitive to what was going on. Not because I'm good. But I think you know what I'm saying. It seems like most of the time God actually is capable of using us. It's in spite of us. He figures out a way to get around our bad attitudes. To get around our selfishness. Work around our envy, our strife, and our bitterness, and our jealousy, and our laziness. Kind of picks us up and throws us in the middle of the lions, puts what we need in our hand, picks our hands up and shoves it forward, because He does nothing without you. Tell your neighbor, God will do nothing without you. Nothing. If every Christian in this world ceases right now from being a witness, not one more person will be saved. It'll be over. God does nothing without us. So He has given us the power to be a witness. Use that power to open up whatever doors you want. But I believe every single day, God puts someone in our life. I don't mean that you're going to hold them down and put your foot on their neck and grab their hair until they talk in tongues. I don't mean that you're going to complete the work on the first touch. I'm just saying He's introducing that person to you so that you can say something. To Him. I had a gentleman come into the office today. He's a fire inspector guy. Yes, fire extinguishers. And he comes to make sure they're where they're supposed to be and all of that. So super nice guy. And I was busy, as I always am, doing something. And he come in really nice and I greeted him. I took his card and I said, "Yeah, we really need that. And we'll, you know what? I'm going to give you a call in a week or two. We'll have you come in and look over everything, make sure we're coded up and legal and all that." So he walks out and he leaves and he's gone. And God on purpose waited until I think he was out of reach. And then He says, "Really? Really? You think I just sent him in there to give you a card because he's a nice guy and he's going to give you a good price? Or do you think he's got needs in his life? And I sent him to a Holy Ghost-filled person who has the power to answer every need." He says, "Yeah, you're going to call him, all right. And I'm going to make you pay full price That's how God does these things. He said, and you will pay full price for his services. And you will invite him to the house of God. And you will pray for him. And you will talk to him. And you will open the door in his life for me. I'm telling you, when God gave you the Holy Ghost, you do not accidentally run into people. Doesn't happen. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. And I think sometimes we kind of freak out because we think we have to do the whole deal, you know. We have to somehow get them to get all of the revelation right on the spot and pray them through and have all the answers and everything has to be done right then. No, no, no. Just touch them. What are you? You are the salt. So the moment you touch them, they become thirsty. And if you can get them thirsty, they'll come back for another drink until they can drink of the well that where they thirst no more. Amen? Tell your neighbor, I am a witness for Jesus Christ. These were his very last words. That you're going to receive power, and this power that you get through the Holy Ghost is going to enable you to be a witness for me. Now, that also means that this power that you have, that you are going to be able to use that to do things in their life. They may be sick or there may be a need, and you can agree with them and God will answer that need. He may use this power with word of knowledge or word of wisdom, however it is that God may open the door. But don't ever forget that ultimately what God is trying to do is get that person in the kingdom, because his soul is eternal. And that is the reason you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's obvious when you look into the Word of God that reaching this world is more important than anything. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus Christ, according to our text, comes to seek and save that which was lost. It drove him so much that it nailed him to a cross. But he didn't mind because of the joy that was set before him. Now, what would happen to us if this mind that was in Christ got in us? And all of a sudden, we no longer cared how much it inconvenienced us to reach a soul. It's kind of hard to compare my inconveniences with the cross. You know, Lord, I would do that, but I've got places to go. I would stop and witness and talk to this man and woman that you have obviously brought to me. I didn't even have to go find them. You brought them to me. I would do that, but I'm busy doing your work. In fact, I'm so busy doing your work, I have forgot your purpose. That's right. Especially preachers, guys. Especially ministers. We can become so busy doing the work of God, we forget the purpose of God. We have to keep the purpose of God primary in our life. What would happen if we so fell in love with reaching the lost that we no longer cared how much it inconvenienced us? The fact that we have to go and pick them up. How many of you drove to church by yourself today? No one in the car but you. Up, hi, I'm with you. I'm here. And your spouse doesn't count. If you and your spouse was in the car, as far as I'm concerned, you're one and you were by yourself. And your kids don't count. Quashy. I looked over there and the Lord told me he's not raising his hand because he had his brats with him. I'm talking about someone besides your own family. You came with no one else. It was just you and your family. Raise it up. I want to see it. Almost every one of us. Now, how happy do you think that makes Jesus? And you know what? We're going to do the same thing Sunday. And we're going to do the same thing Wednesday. And we're going to do the same thing Sunday. And we're going to do the same thing Wednesday. And we're going to do the same thing Sunday. And then our car is going to break down. And we're going to say, God, give me a nice, beautiful car. And he's going to say, why? Well, you didn't do nothing with the other one. This is tough, ain't it? It's the truth, though. I'm talking about winning souls becoming the priority in our life all over again, because that's why God gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. And I think we'll be surprised how many people actually will say yes. Hey, bro, I'd love for you to come to church with me Sunday. Can I swing by and pick you up? Would you like to come to church? Well, yeah, we start it. You got to learn how to sell, by the way. We start at 10 o'clock. I'll be at your house at 9:30. What was the address? Well, it's such a da-da-da. So, okay, all right, I'll see you there. Be there. Be ready. And are you married? Yeah, I got 9 kids. Bring them. We'll get a bigger bus. But more than that, sincerely, through the week, if we would just become sensitive, all the people that God send to us in some form or fashion, if we would actually take the time to say, hey, I'd love for you to come to church with me Sunday, I'll come pick you up. But we don't want to be inconvenienced, Sister Maynard. We're already getting up early. And then the precious women of God have to fix their hair. I mean, you ought to be thanking us as preachers. At least you don't spend 2 hours in the mirror putting your face on. I mean, at least we prayed you through that one. So you just wrap your hair up on your head, and we got to, you know, we're already rushing, we're already hurrying. Some of you have children. Dear Lord, I understand that. You know, the church in Alexandria, Louisiana, Brother and Sister Mangan, she still does it to this day. She's got to be upper 50s, 60s now. I mean, Sister Mangan, the younger one. One married Anthony, mid-50s. Since she was 20 years old, when they started pastoring that church, she gets up every Sunday morning and drives her own bus. Now, she's the pastor's wife of a church that runs 3,000. She don't have to do nothing except that she loves souls. And every Sunday, she drives her bus. People have tried to take her bus route. She said, go get your own. You're not taking my bus route. And through the years, she's brought these kids to the house of God. It's a long-term investment. But I heard her testify a few because of the times ago, a few years ago. And I don't remember the number, but how many of those kids were now in the ministry preaching the gospel, working for Jesus Christ. Long-term investment. God is going to send people to us throughout the entire week because you are special. Sister Randall, are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You are special. You have everything needed to minister to every need in their life. And God sends them to you, and all He wants you to do is extend your hand. Just take the time to extend your hand. Talk about Him. Before they leave, do you mind if I pray for you? I just want to pray for you. Most people will say yes. Some will say no. And you say, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. No, you don't. You say, well, God bless you. And you let them go. You're not going to bat 100, folks. But if you get 1 out of 100, isn't that good? Amen. So tell your neighbor, I am a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, this soul winning thing is pretty important to God. I don't have time to read all these scriptures. Luke 19 is your homework. Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. I want you to go read those scriptures when you get home. And I want you to recognize how God gave to all. And everybody but one, there was 10. There were 10. 9 come back. They make usury of his money. But one says, I hid it. And God cast him out. You think he would have been happy with 9 out of 10? Absolutely not. Because his spirit is too valuable to waste with anyone. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. For those of you that were still trying to write. You know this, I've already taught this, and I'm coming to a close tonight. We cannot decide for Jesus who can and cannot be saved. Now, that's easy for us to respond to, but we do it all the time, because somebody will come up to us and we'll go, they don't want God. You just become God's judge. Or someone, you'll look at someone on the outside and you'll say, God might even move on you, and you'll say, oh, Lord, it's obvious they don't want God. I mean, look at them, look what they're doing. They obviously don't want to have anything to do with you. We need to make sure, Brother Legist, that we do not decide for Jesus who can and cannot be saved. Amen? Amen. I promise you, not only me, but a few of you as well. I promise you, the first time they laid eyes on me, Todd, I can name a few others out there, they probably didn't think you want God either. And cast judgment, especially if they saw you in your sin. But you know, that's where God found me. In my sin. So I think it's our job to extend and offer witness to all men. That's what Paul the Apostle said. He said, I become all things for all men, that I might save some. He realized he wasn't going to reach them all, but he was going to reach for them all. And that's what we need to do, reach for them all. I like the way Brother Huntley put it a while back. He said, save them all and let God decide. Just save them all. It's like casting a net out. You bring in the big load of fish, and then you take the the junk fish, right? You cast it back. You keep the good ones. God wants us to cast the net and let him decide who he's going to keep, who he's not going to keep. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. Let's stand. Just a little teaching on being a witness. And I'm asking for the Lord to, this is my Wednesday night crowd. And I hesitate saying that because I certainly don't want to make my Sunday crowd sound bad. Because we have wonderful people. Many of them are working or the type of schedule they have, they just can't make it. Some don't come because it's at night, during school week, children. There's a lot of variables. So don't misunderstand me. However, you are here. And you are the ones that in the middle of the week have decided to come to the house of God. I'm not sure why this is the case, but it is. But it's always God's best that he throws in the fire. It's the best that go through the trials. It's the best that suffer persecution. It's the best that have difficulties. It's the best that have to go through things that they have to overcome. Because the Lord knows it will purify you and make you better and better and better. He can work with you. Can't put wood in the fire. Wood burns. Gold. Fire takes out impurities. So this is the Wednesday night crowd. And God is asking us to learn how to use his power to be a witness. We use it for everything else. When we have a financial need, we use it to get our finances taken care of. When we have trouble in the family, we use it there. We have trouble with the spouse, we pray God down on the spouse. Well, we use his power for everything, don't we? God says, that's okay. But the primary purpose of me giving you my spirit and power with my spirit is to be a witness. And we need, I didn't get into this area of it, we need the power in our generation. So we need to be prayed up, full of the Holy Ghost. And I will say this about that, then we'll pray. If you are prayed up and the Holy Ghost. So this is a good little Geiger counter for you, okay? This is a little bit of a kind of a way to judge whether you really are where you need to be in God. If you are full of the Holy Ghost and you are prayed up and God's power is in you, you can't help but be a witness. It just consumes you. You can't even see the loss. And if you miss it, it won't take long before the Holy Ghost is able to talk to you and say, hey, buddy, whoa, you're too busy. If you're too busy to reach for the loss, you're too busy. And so we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God. I'm not looking for some big, huge emotional move because emotions die down. Get emotional, you walk out the door and poof, 1 hour later, you're right back to whatever. I want this to get in here, and I want it to go down into here. And I want us to think about it, pray about it, meditate about it. And we're going to ask God to help us to become greater witnesses for him. This is Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Three days before Sunday. And I am making you a promise in the Holy Ghost. There is not a single one of us in this room tonight with the Holy Ghost that God is not going to bring somebody to you between now and Sunday to give you an opportunity to witness. Just about his love and his goodness and his kindness and his strength. And let's quit just inviting people to church. Let's offer to pick them up. That way we can make sure they get here. And after they pray through Mary, then we'll let them spend their own gas coming to the house of God. But let's try to get them here. And they may say, no, I have a car. Yeah, but I want to pick you up. No. Well, don't hit them over the head. After two or three no's, you can say, okay. Make sure. You know, we got hangers and cards. How many of y'all have those with you in your Bible? You have church cards with you in your Bible. If you don't, my ushers, we have them. Right, ushers? We have them. We have church cards out in the foyer. We even have door hangers, I think. Got like 5,000 of them, right? You should never be without a church invite card. Has the map of the church, where it's at, the times, my pretty pictures on it, I think. Am I on it? Oh, my wife's on it too? There you go. Thank you. I'm just kidding, guys. You should always have a stack of those in your car, in your Bible. That's why we order 10,000 of those things, so that you can take a handful of them. And when you run out, you come get another handful. And guess what? When we get down to about 1,000, ushers tell me, and we go out and order another lot. Let's saturate this city with those cards. In Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor one last time, I am a witness for Jesus Christ. Say, I have the power of the Holy Ghost, and it makes me a witness. So let's use this power to be a witness. Let's do our best to bring someone to the house of God this Sunday. Listen, we have good church here. I mean, there is no way you could be ashamed to bring anyone to the house of God in this place on Sunday morning. Power of God moves. Music is excellent. And as long as pastor's anointed, the preaching's usually pretty good. We just have wonderful church in every area, every aspect. We get a little crazy sometimes, but it's not too often. But I found out the crazier the service, the more they seem to love it. Look, I came out of my office a couple of days ago, and I went, what is that noise? And it was the fairgrounds at 9 o'clock at night having a band or something. How far is our office from the fairgrounds? A little less than a mile. And I'm like, I want to say, turn it down. And I was a mile away. Don't you tell me the noise bothers them. It's what's in the noise that bothers them in the house of God. It's what's in the noise. It's called the Holy Ghost. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the wonderful saints of God that are in the house of God tonight. Lord, we come to you together, one voice, one mind, one purpose. Lord, every one of us in this building, we want to do the will of God. We want to see the will of God done in our lives. Lord, help us to overcome intimidation. Help us, God, to not be embarrassed or ashamed. Don't, Lord, don't let us allow the world to intimidate us and to make us think little of ourselves because we believe in you and we live a certain way. Lord, we are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. We are royalty. We have been separated. We are the ones with revelation. We are the ones that have hope. We are the ones that bring hope to a lost world. Help us to hold our head up high in the love of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to reach out to the lost in the power of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we're going to be looking for the person that's going to be coming. God, that you're going to introduce them to us. You're going to bring them to us. It's not going to be an accident. Lord, it's going to be divinely orchestrated and ordained by you. God, help us to be sensitive to that and to become a witness to the lost and to reach out to those that are lost. Father, you have the answer. You said, fear not what you will say in that hour. When we open our mouths, God, you will put your words in our mouth and the power of God will come forth and you will reveal them by the light of the Holy Ghost. Lord, they will feel your love. They will feel your compassion. They will know that you love them and you care for them, and it will draw them to you, Father. I pray, use us. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost be upon us. Father, we just ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. Help us to be that witness for you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Let's go be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go do it in Jesus' name. God bless you.